Playing that guitar, it's pretty good. He's a little modest about some things. Join me this morning in Luke chapter 10 as we talk about this morning, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Before we get started, let's go back to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word. Pray that your spirit would guide us, help us, Lord, to focus and concentrate, Lord. Listen for your voice. I pray that you would speak through me, use me as your tool, your instrument, by your spirit and for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look this morning at a story that Jesus shared in the book of Luke. It's a parable of the Good Samaritan. Many times when we hear a story on the news where someone helps someone else, at times they'll be referred to as a Good Samaritan. So that's where where they get that. And there's hospitals across the nation that's called Good Samaritan Hospital. And then there's Samaritan's Purse, the ministry of Franklin Graham that does so many wonderful things. In Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan, I want us to see four categories of people, and you will identify yourself with one of those four, so will I. The characters of our story this morning are the thieves, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. And so you'll notice these as we go along. First off, in Luke 10, beginning with verse 25, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Our love for God is displayed by how well we love others. That's what Jesus taught. Some people have differing ideas about what love is. So, looking at these four characters, first I want us to consider what love was to the lawyer in our story. Now, this lawyer wasn't exactly the same as the attorneys of our day. This lawyer is a religious leader, like the Pharisees that you've heard so much about. He is an interpreter of the law of Moses. On the surface, it seems like this lawyer has a legitimate question. What do I do to inherit eternal life? I wished more would realize that they need to ask that same question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? But there was a motive behind the lawyers asking this question. The lawyer of Jesus' day loved to argue about the finer points of religion and social matters as it pertained to the law of Moses. Jesus, though, saw through this motive, as he sees through our motives, whether they're good or they're bad. Jesus throws him a question that puts him on the spot after he asks this question. He says, "Well, what does the law say about it?" That's a good question for this lawyer. You know, what do you know about it? What does the law have to say? And he gave the right answer. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And he says, "You're to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, you're right. You're correct. You've answered correctly. He said, "Do this and you shall live." Now, we know that doing things does not get you saved, nor does it keep you saved. That would be a works salvation. And the Bible says that we're not saved by the works that we do. A person who is saved, a characteristic of a person who's really saved, is that they love God and they love people. And we need to ask ourselves or question ourselves when there's people that we don't love, that or there's certain people or there's groups of people that we say, well, we just can't love them. And so the question we should ask ourselves is, are we really a child of God if we say that there's certain ones that we don't love? Because the Bible says we're to love the Lord our God, all our strength, mind, soul, so forth, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so the question is, who's our neighbor? That's what we're talking about this morning. Who do we consider is our neighbor? And so this lawyer avoids talking about love and asks Jesus to define what his neighbor is. He says, and who is my neighbor? And his flawed thinking, the lawyer and other Jews would say, well, my neighbor is not the person next door. My neighbor is someone just like me. Another Jew, for instance. My neighbor is someone like me, one who looks like me, talks like me, goes to the same place as I do, and someone just like me. That's the same flawed thinking that many Christians have today, and is the reason why churches are not reaching people when there are people to be reached. It's because we don't think there's any others to be reached. In a church that I once pastored, someone made the comment to me, they said, Pastor, we have reached all the people that we can reach. Because if you listen to me enough, I'm always talking about reaching people for Jesus, aren't I? I need to do more of that myself. But this person made that statement, we've reached all the people that we can reach. But what she really meant was, we've reached all the people in the community that are just like us. You see the difference? It's not that there wasn't any people to reach, but we've reached all the people that look like us and think like us and act like us and look like us. There's no more of those people to reach. But our neighbor, according to Jesus, is not people that are just like us. Jesus explained to the lawyer very well that loving people who are just like you and just like me is not what he's talking about. Loving people is showing mercy to anyone who has a need. That is the kind of love that Jesus is talking about, the God kind of love. So I ask you, have you demonstrated the God kind of love this past week, loving your neighbor with the love of God? Your neighbor is any person that you meet, whether or not they're just like you. So the lawyer had a flawed idea about who his neighbor was and a flawed idea of what love is, clearly. So we continue to look at the other characters in this passage. For instance, what was love to the thieves? Well, love to the thieves was taking advantage of someone. Now, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan. This guy's walking down the road, and he gets attacked by thieves. They beat him, they rob him, and then others come by as he's laying there on the side of the road. In verse 30, it says, Jesus replied, as he starts telling this story to this lawyer, he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. So the story is about, as I just said, about a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho and was attacked by thieves. The man was not a neighbor to the thief. The thief only cared about the man's possessions and could care less about the man, could care less about his soul. The thief was looking for someone he could take advantage of. And so the thief took his clothing and possessions and beat him and left him for dead on the side of the road, could care less what happened to this man in the future. I don't think that's anybody's idea of love. That's not very loving, is it? But the point is, they didn't care about the man. They only cared about what they could get from him. They showed no mercy. They just took advantage of him as he was walking down the road. Well, then there was the priest of the story. To the priest, love was a situation to avoid. Verse 31 says, "Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." The priest was the first person to come along after the man was stripped and left for dead, beaten on the side of the road. But instead of stopping to help the man and show God's love, the priest walked on the other side of the road, pretended not to see the man. What's up with that, right? The priest, well, you know, he was probably busy. He was probably busy and probably on his way to do his service at the temple. It would have been an inconvenience for him to stop. You know, he might miss the opening to Sunday school if he got there late. And then there was a possibility for that priest that this man might be dead. And according to the law, the priest would have been unclean for coming in contact with a dead body. And he would be unclean for 7 days and be unable to serve. And so, instead of taking that chance, he just chose to pass by on the other side and act like he didn't see the man at all. Well, that demonstrates the love of God, doesn't it? Not really. And then along came a Levite. To the Levite, love was someone to look at. Verse 32 says, "So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." So this wounded, beaten man was just someone that kind of sparked the curiosity of the Levite. Sort of like when we're rolling down the road and we see an accident on the side of the road and everybody's got to slow down and look, don't they? They want to slow down and look and see how bad the wreck is, if anybody's laying out there under a sheet or whatever happens and so forth and so on, and bottlenecks traffic and makes everybody mad and all that kind of stuff. But they want to look at it but not stop to help. I wonder, would you and I stop to help if we maybe we're the first one that came by and we saw there's somebody? You say, "Yeah, I'd help him. You know, I'd call 911. Well, that's a pretty good idea. But why don't you check on them while the ambulance is en route and gets there? Why don't you stay there? But anyway, the Levite just saw the man and went on the other side, passed him by. The Levite was another minister in the temple, by the way. He'd gained enough knowledge to know that it was his duty to love his neighbor, but he chose not to. Is there things that God wants us to do and we just choose not to do it because it's uncomfortable or any other thing? Probably so. The priest and the Levite both demonstrate that religious work does not make one religious, and it surely does not make one right with God. They were both on their way to serve God in the temple, but they blew it by not serving their fellow man. There was a fourth character in this story that actually demonstrated the love of God, and that was the Samaritan. So what was love to the Samaritan? Well, in verse 33, we read, it says, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." What was love to the Samaritan? The Samaritan probably was the least that you would expect to stop and help this man. Here was a man lying beaten on the side of the road, most likely a Jewish man, and the Jews hated Samaritans. And so you would think this is the last person that would stop to help this Jew lying on the side of the road was a Samaritan. Knowing how Jews felt about Samaritans, the Samaritans were half-breeds to the Jew. They were aliens that had these strange religions and they had intermarried with Jews. They were outcast to the Jew. So this Samaritan walking up sees this Jew beaten and lying half dead on the side of the road. There's no good reason under the sun to help this man who was part of a group who hated Samaritans. But instead of walking by, the Samaritan chose to help. He stopped, we read, bound up the man's wounds, carried him to an inn where he could recuperate, made provision for the man's expenses out of his own pocket. The Samaritan demonstrated the love of God more than the priest, more than the Levite, and certainly more than the thieves. All the others were more concerned about their own well-being than the man who was hurting. And so Jesus is sharing all this with this lawyer, telling him this story, helping him to understand. And so down in verse 36, Jesus asked him, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. Who is your neighbor? If a Samaritan could prove himself to be a true neighbor to a Jew by showing mercy to him, then all men are his neighbors. That's who your neighbor is. All men, all women. My neighbor and your neighbor are people who need Jesus, right? People who can't find Jesus anywhere else but in you and I. My neighbor and your neighbor are people who need Jesus. They might not look like us. They may not go to the same places that we go to. They may not attend the same schools that we do. They may not like the things we like. They may not have the same color skin as you and I do, but they're our neighbors. And they have a soul, right? I've told this before, but I remember some years ago when my good friend, Reverend Frank Watkins, came up from Louisiana. This time I lived in Dexter, Missouri, and Frank was a Cajun from way down in South Lafourche Parish, down there by Golden Meadow and Grand Isle and all that stuff down there, if you know where that's at. And so about the middle of the night, Frank had all these problems with his stomach and everything, and so he was sleeping in a bedroom across the hall, and he comes over where I'm at about 2 o'clock in the morning. "Hey, Brother Keith, I got a fire in my belly. Hey, you got any Maalocs?" He was in bad shape. I said, "No, man, I don't have any Maalocs." He said, Where can we go buy some?" I said, "Well, we'll try." I mean, Dexter, they rolled up what are you gonna find at 2 o'clock in the morning? Even the little Walmart we had was closed at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so we run around. So we stopped this little convenience store, and it was in a part of town that we would call kind of rough, right? It's rough at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just made a comment to him. I said, "Boy," I said, "there's different folks here at 2 o'clock in the morning than there is during the day." And he just kind of stared at me, and he said, "Yeah, but they need Jesus, don't they?" who's going to tell them about Jesus if you and I don't tell them about Jesus? And so that really kind of took me aback a little bit. And I thought, well, that just sized up my own thinking, which was flawed. They need Jesus. He was right. And so, those folks didn't run in the same circles as I did. They didn't do the things that I did. They did totally opposite things than I did. But they were my neighbors, right? They're my neighbors. They have a soul that needs Jesus. And maybe they wouldn't be so rough if they knew Jesus, right? Maybe they wouldn't be so rough. And so my question to you today, and I want you to seriously consider this. Who is your neighbor? Who would you consider is your neighbor? And should you reconsider who your neighbor is, like I did that night? Let's pray. Father, help us all, dear God, to have the mind of Christ when it comes to considering who our neighbor is, Lord. Father, I ask you to forgive us for flawed thinking and not even realize that our thinking is flawed when we would not consider certain people our neighbors. Lord, when you considered everyone your neighbor. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to have new, fresh thinking about those whom you would have us as a church to reach for Jesus. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you